will first preach the word of God. Then after that, we are going out there, and there is a cake. This cake is to celebrate both Jonathan and Cynthia. They got married last week, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. So we want to celebrate with them, and we want to pray for them after the service out there. And we will have our coffee and our break. Then we'll be coming back for our 29 AGM. We need every member to stay so that we can have the quorum to have the AGM. This morning, I want to come to the Word of God and the PowerPoint. Rhythm. Rhythm is very important. As a teenager, I have a friend who could play guitar very well. And I always want to play guitar. So I asked him to teach me. There are some people you can teach them and they never get it. And I'm one of them. So I have learned to play guitar as a teenager, but never able to strum well. My wife said that I'm a one-way strummer. Just strum one way, slow, medium, or fast. I cannot change the style. So there was some occasion when we were having prayer meeting and there was no music, and I pick up the guitar. Of course, beginning, everyone is impressed. Woo, pastors can play guitar. But they didn't know. I only know a few chords, the simple chord. And I only strum one way, fast song or slow song, one way. And when I lead them, they all smile out of the kindness of their heart. But I know one thing. When it comes to guitar playing, I don't have the rhythm. I don't have the flow. I'm just a try-hard. Rhythm is so important, you know. And if you are those who love dancing, I don't want you to put up your hand. If you love dancing, you know the importance of rhythm. If you don't flow with the music, with the beat, with the tempo, or with the pulse, if you don't have the rhythm when you dance, more likely you will step on your partner's feet or you will hit against somebody. So rhythm is important. How you will realize that children nursery songs, they have very great rhythm. When my granddaughter was a baby, I used to carry her, and on this nursery song is about a snowman and the snowflakes falling. The rhythm of the song is so nice that snowflakes falling on my head, falling on my ear, falling on my hand. It is such a smooth rhythm song that she will fall asleep. And for myself, I also feel like sleeping. You know, and with a nice rhythm in nursery song, it captured. I mean, this morning, how many of you are blessed with the worship that we have? Put up your hand. Could you imagine if this morning Ivan decided to change the style of leading? Firstly, he sing fast song. Then he sing slow song. Then he sing very, very fast song. Then he sing very, very slow song. Then he start to change to all different key. We were there. No rhythm, no flow. We will get what? We will get confused. And we will get a real, what they call, unsettled mind and heart. Jesus Christ believed in rhythm. I want you to read this verse with me, found in Matthew chapter 11. I want you to read with me because I want you to hear it in your ear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. I want you to read this verse and I want you to hear it so that you can hear what you have read and what does the Bible say. Because Jesus Christ wants you to have rhythm in your life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Shall we all read together aloud? Hear your own voice. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Lord, we thank you for your words this morning, that you will speak to each heart that is here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Life has a rhythm. It has a flow. Even though every day or weekly or even monthly or yearly, you may be doing the same thing, but those same things may be so routine and so mundane, but you need to have the rhythm. The rhythm that comes from what? From grace. From grace. Because it is this rhythm of grace that comes into your life, that flows from God's throne, that comes to your life, that makes you able to be and to do. And when you do it happily. Do you know not every time people are happy in doing things? How many of you realize that in life, you know when you need to wake up, when you have breakfast, when you need to brush your teeth, when you need to change, when you need to go to work or go to school, or when you need to do the housework. So there is a rhythm, a pattern, a flow in your life. And if you don't have the rhythm of grace, the rhythm of grace in your life helping you through, you find that life can be quite what? Mundane, quite difficult. So Jesus believed in rhythm. We know that there is season like spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And all of this, whether it's life, whether it's season, we need the rhythm of grace. The rhythm of grace to influence and empower you. You're not going to do it by your own effort or by your own strength. But you're going to do it with the rhythm of grace that flows from one person. That person is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that he is full of what? Full of grace. Grace upon grace. Apostle Paul, he understood the unforced rhythm of grace. He understood how important is the grace of God. How important is this grace that is not forced upon you, but it flows easily into you. For his own life, that he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 to verse 11, I am what I am, but whatsoever I am now, it's all because God poured out his grace, his special grace on me. And not without result, for I work harder than any other apostle. Yet it's not I, but God who is working through me by his grace. This is what Paul has recognized, that God, I need the unforced rhythm of grace. I need your grace to come upon me, to flow upon me. That when I look at my life, Paul said, I am what I am. Whatever has taken place in my life, the difficulty, the success, the failure, the good things and not so good things. He said, whatever has taken place in my life, when I look at it, I see one thing. That God, you are working. Not that I am passive, but God, I am working with you through the flow, the unforced rhythm of your grace upon my life. So Paul said, look at me. I am what I am by the grace of God. Many of us have to look at ourselves, look at the mirror and say, God, your grace has worked upon me, unforced, working upon me. That when I look at the mirror, sometimes when you look at the mirror, you may not like the person you see. It's not your mom, not your dad, not your wife, not your friend. It's you that are looking at the mirror. It's time that you look at the mirror and to be like Paul and say, God, I recognize one thing. I have loved you. I have obeyed you. I have walked with you. I have allowed your unforced rhythm of grace to work in my life. So when I look at this mirror, I can say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I may not be what you want me to be. I may not be what other wants me to be, but I have recognized I am what I am. Not perfect. I am what I am by the unforced grace of God operating and working in me. We just read Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and verse 30. This morning, I want to unpack from these three verses to see the unforced rhythm of grace over your life, how it operates by simply asking you these two questions. My first question to you, do you need the unforced rhythm of grace? Jesus spoke to this group of listeners, and Jesus said to this group, he said, those who are weary, those who are heavy laden. The Message Bible put this way. People who are tired. How many of you are tired? Put up your hand. You are tired. You are worn out. You are burnt out. You know, one time Jesus said, I came to seek what? The what? The lost. The Greek expression. One of the words for Greek expression for the word lost is those that are worn out and burnt out. One thing, as a teenager, I never heard of this word burnt out before. But in the 20th century, this word has become used so commonly. I remember when I was still a teenager, we had limited staff, limited entertainment, limited freedom, but life was what? Simple and happy. Playing the marble, chasing after the kite, you know, climbing up the tree. Life was simple and happy. Nothing to burn out of. What was my concern? The only concern is what? Shelter and food. Not today. Today, everything is a concern. Having is a concern. Not having, also a concern. Having too little is a concern. Having too much is also a concern. I know the life is filled with full of concern. Needless concern and endless concern. How many of you realize that? And these are the people that Jesus is talking to. 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke to these people that he's speaking to us today, in this year, in this moment. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out? You know, our world has become so fast. From normal lane to fast lane and super fast lane. Now you got the super fast NBN. Everything is moving so fast. It's like a rat race that is endless, self-defeating, and pointless pursuit. Have you ever felt like a rat on the rat wheel? Going round and round, but going where? Nowhere. Just only struggle, frustration, and exhaustion. Do you ever felt this way? Thereafter, looks quite nice. Do you ever felt like this, man? That after one day, when you are so tired and you sit down and you ask yourself, what have I done today? What have I achieved today? If you are stressed out, like a chicken without a head, if you are pressurized, like you are in a pressure cooker, you do not know whether you are going or coming, like a wreck on the race, on this wheel track, I have good news for you today. The good news is that Jesus offered you the rhythm of grace, and he called it unforced grace. Grace that flows from the throne of God, up from above, that comes down. And grace is like water and oil flowing down to any opening. Any opening. You open yourself, any area of your life, the unforced rhythm of grace will flow into it. This unforced rhythm of grace, it is free. Jesus paid the price on the cross so that his unforced rhythm of grace can come into your life. When Jesus was talking to this group of people, they were people under a yoke of complex religious system called the law. And they tried to obey the law, to keep the law, to perform the law. And with so many men make religious performance, this law become a yoke over them. Many of us today, we don't suffer with this yoke of the law. We are saved by grace. Say amen. Not by work, simply by grace. But one of the things that I want to speak about, there is a yoke over many people here. And it's called the yoke of performance. Another word for performance is what? Success. I don't know about you. Sometimes we measure performance and we measure success not according to the Bible. We measure according to how the world measure and see. You see, one thing about a performer. If you are a performer, what do? You seek for the approval of who? The approval and the praise of what? The audience. So you look for a crowd. And sometimes a performer has a crowd and that is not enough. So he tries harder and harder and harder. And what happened? They still feel, I am underperforming. Have you ever felt that way? Not good enough. Never enough. This is the driving culture of our world. That's why there's an increase of mental problem. I'm shocked to see the amount of people that come to the church in the weekdays to see Pastor Kara with problems. There is an increase of mental problem because this yoke of performance and of success, we measure it not according to what God says. We measure it according to what people think and what the world say. And it becomes a pressure point. It becomes something that presses us. I have to do more. I have to do more. I have to do more. You see, this yoke of performance say to you, you know, to be productive, to be successful in your life, it depends solely in what? In you performing. And when you have this frame of mind, it becomes very heavy on your back. It becomes a weight that weighs you down and it will crush you. It will demand of you what you cannot give. Performance. I remember as a young married person, married to one woman, still the same woman. Starting out, and a career, wanting to perform, I told my dear wife, I have to work very hard. It's my future, it's my career. So what do I do? In the morning, when I go to work, leaving the house at 7 or 7:30, morning to 5, I'm a sales manager selling Komatsu forklift. Morning to 5. After 5, I'm a sales manager helping my sales rep to sell excavator. Because all the contractor, if you want to see them, you have to see them after 5. Some of them stay and work till 10 to 11. So, morning, I'm selling to the industrial businessman. Nighttime with the sales rep, we go and see and knock door at contractor. So how many hours was I working? Too many hours. Thank you for that. But I'm telling you, performance is never enough. And it crushes me. My poor wife, she is understanding. But I'm telling you, foolishness kick in. I think sometimes we want to perform so hard that by taking more and more, it crushes us. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out? What about parents? You know, parents, you can be overperformed. Look, every parent wants to be the best parent. That is in each one of us. So, we look to all the parenting method. In fact, let me tell you, the best parenting method is not from the book. The best parenting method is not from Google. The best parenting method is from your parent. They have done it and they know what don't work. But then you think, look, I have to learn more and more. And so you, what? You pressurize your kid. You want your kid to perform. You make them a square in a round hole. Because you think if they don't live up to what you want, you will look bad as a parent. That's why. If you know me in 29 years, as a pastor, I never talk much about my children. I never boast about my children. Why? Because I always tell myself, there are people in the church struggling with their children. Therefore, I'd rather not say much. You see, it is easy for us wanting to perform that we pressurize our children because we want our children to outdo another children. We must be better than others. And this creates competition and strife. Who is this man? You know who is this man? Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt recognized one thing. He's the fastest man. He can do 100 meters in 9.58 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, pop, he's already there. But you know, Usain Bolt also recognized there is only to a limit that he can break the 100 meters. How many of you realize that? And I know even how hard I try for the 100 meter. If I can do 13 seconds, you should be very happy with me. But I don't think I can do 13 seconds because I don't have that grace. I don't have the ability that Usain Bolt has. And many times when we measure performance, we tend to measure performance according to another person. But we forgot the ability and the grace and the anointing that God has put into what? Each one of us. Say amen to that. Now I have good news for you. For those who have been given more, don't boast. For those who have given more, this is what the Bible says. More is given to you, more is also what? Required of you. You see, people who has more, want to show I have more, but they don't realize, according to the word of God, more is required of you. So if I may not have more, I thank God with what I have. Performance. What a terrible thing when life is driven by performance. Remember one thing. You live your life to please only one person. Me? That one person is not my wife. She's not my boss. The one person that I should live my life to please is who? Jesus Christ. The only audience that I must learn to please. So, Paul, the apostle, he's a man who understands performance and success. He had tried very hard. He had tried very hard to the extreme of persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. But this is what Paul learned about the unforced freedom of grace. Three times he came to God. He said, God, I could do more. I could go further. I could do better. God, why do you give me this thorn of flesh? I mean, we do not know for clearly what was the thorn of flesh that Paul was talking about. But he said, God, don't you want me to perform top class, first class? Why give me this thorn of flesh? Hey, God, this thorn of flesh is holding me back from being what I could be. So now, I'm asking you, God, take away that thorn of flesh. What did God say to him? God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul began to realize, life is not easy. Life to have up and down. Life to have difficulty. So Paul began to realize that God's unforced rhythm of grace is enough for him. Even though he may be not be perfect in his performance. But one thing for sure, who is perfect? God is perfect. Therefore, his grace is perfect. His timing is perfect. You know, everything about God is perfect. And that's why he's able to say, for Christ, for the sake of Christ, then I'm contented with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamity. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow. This tells us one thing. When we begin to tap into God's grace, into this unforced grace, then we are able to say, God, look, I'm tired. I lift up my hand. Lord, let your strength, let your grace overflow me. It may surprise you. It can be instantly restored and refreshed. This speaker, EV, is very light. We used to have the old one called PV, I think. It is so heavy, you need two person to carry up. And if you remember, those days when we were in a community center, we had to set up. And usually, when we have a seminar or what, you had to set it up. And I remember one day I tried to set it up by myself. Tried to lift it up. It was heavy. And what happened? I got injured. I lie on the bed and I said to God, God, tomorrow I have to preach. I ask you right now, touch me. Instantly. Last week, I had the privilege of praying for Rajiv and Velna on their 10th anniversary. When I went to the restaurant, I was going to tell both of them, maybe I'll get Pastor Kara to do it. I really have no voice. I pray, God, touch him. Sunday morning, I say, God, you got to do something. This is the unforced rhythm of God's grace, that you will be shocked. Lord, I do not know what to say to my boss. Lord, I do not know what to do. Lord, let your unforced rhythm of grace flow over me. You will be shocked. You have the right word to say, the right answer to give. Do you need the unforced rhythm of grace? What does it mean? What does it mean? It simply means this. In your life, give your best. Say it with me, give your best. And do your best. And be your best. With this grace, this unforced rhythm of grace that God has come to you and provide for you, you can only say, God, I have finished what you have given to me. I have done all that you have given to me. And after you have, know that you have, give your best, do your best, be your best. And one thing about life, my best may not be like your best. How many of you realize that? Because Jesus talked about the sower that went to sow the seed, and how when the fruits was produced, some were what? Some were 30-fold, some were 60-fold, some was what? 100-fold. And we all want to be like the 100-fold. Please, if God had given you the ability and the grace to be 30-fold, just be that 30-fold. And maybe in due time, God will give you increased grace to be what? 60-fold. You know, then looking at somebody and say, oh, I just have to be like that. No. Be who God has called you to be, with the unforced grace of God. Looking at yourself, saying, I have what? Give my best, done my best, and I am be the best. And now what do I do? When I have done all these things, Jesus said, if you are tired, if you are weary, if you are burned out, come and rest. Rest in him, rest in his promise, and rest in his character. The invitation of Jesus to those who are tired, worn out, and weary, heavy laden, and burned out, is this word. Come to me. Get away with me. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. So I have answered the first question. Do you need the unforced rhythm of grace? If you need, put up your hand this morning. Come on. Now the second question. You have to ask yourself. How do I get the unforced rhythm of grace? Thank you for asking me the second question. Now I'm going to answer you. When you first heard about the message of Jesus Christ, it's called what? Salvation. And that salvation is called saving what? Saving grace. So what do you hear? What do you do? When you hear that message that Jesus loves you, that God forgive your sin, you respond. And how do you respond? You respond by coming to him. Now that you have come to him, remember the grace of God. This unforced rhythm of grace is called multicolor and multifactor. That means it's not only the grace that can save you, but it's also the grace that can influence you, the grace that can empower you, the grace that is able to transform you, the grace that is able to strengthen you. So now that I have come to this saving grace, how do I live in this unforced rhythm of grace? Jesus used the word with me. Four times he used the word with me. He said, come, come, get away with me. The first word is what? Get away with me. Now, when I go to my wife and say, come, get away with me, means I do not want any of you to be there. I also do not want my children or my grandchildren to be there. I just want what? She and me. So the first thing to come into this unforced rhythm of grace is Jesus calling you to be cut, to be separate from everybody so that you are alone with him, connected to him, communion with him. The second thing he said, the PowerPoint please, walk with me. What does it mean? Walk has to do with what? Fellowship. Not only you come to him, connected, you now fellowship with him. Now he said, after you fellowship with me, walk with me. And that is partnership. And then he said, keep company with me. That is what? Companionship. That's how you tap into this unforced rhythm of grace. Not by separating, not by doing yourself, but it's coming to him, saying to him, I depend on you. I need you. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying this to you. Come, fly with me. Nice song, come fly with me. And become like the eagle that has wait upon me. The eagle that has put his trust on me. The eagle that is depending on me. And then you will be able to catch the wind of the Spirit. Because God's wind of the Spirit is his unforced grace. His unforced rhythm of grace that is able to come and swap you up. So that you can be and do what he calls you to be. So that you are able to soar up to the air, fly higher and further, and be free and easy, and be free and light. You see, the force, the power of God, unforced rhythm of grace, is not struggling or trying to do it yourself. It's like Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Because God did not call you to a DIY fellowship. You know what is DIY? Do it yourself. You see, we are saved by grace, but many of us after that try to do DIY. Do it yourself. Do it on your own. Depending on yourself. Doing your own thing. Using your own strength. No, God said that now that you come to me, I want you to be yoked. To be yoked. Not to anything. Not to anyone. I want you to be yoked to me. Now, Jesus was talking to this group of listeners, and he talked to them about the yoke of the law, the yoke of bondage. And now Jesus is saying to them, I want to give you a different kind of yoke, not a yoke of performance. I want to give you the yoke, which is my yoke. My yoke is light. My yoke is light. You know, if you let performance be your life, then you will be doing and doing and doing till you are tired out, worn out, burnt out. But Jesus said, when you put on the yoke that is me, working with me, looking at me, learning from me, then you're going to experience my unforced rhythm of grace so that you can live freely and lightly. In Jesus' time, yoke is not one of rest. Yoke is one of what? Work. How many of you realize, whether you like it or not, you find some meaning and some expression in your life through your what? Through your work. God is never against work. He put Adam into the garden to work. But he's saying this. How you work and what drives your work is very important. The how, the why, must be because of who? For him. Living for his purpose. Making sure that your work reflects who God is. So, Jesus talked about the yoke. Come and yoke with me. And this is the picture in Jesus' time where you have the yoke. You have an older ox, an experienced ox, and you have a younger, inexperienced ox, and they yoke together, and then you have the farmer with the plow. That old ox supposed to take most of the weight, most of the load. That young ox is just learning. So if that young ox decided to go faster or decided not to go, slack behind, that young ox is going to be very what? Worn out and very tired at the end of the day. But the young ox is just supposed to keep in pace, keep in pace, keep in pace with the old ox. Now, Jesus has made each one of us here. He has given us all different measure of faith and grace. He knows how much you can take, how far you can go. Can you understand? You don't have to pressurize yourself. Just say, God, whatever you call me to do, give me the grace to do it. I do to the best of my ability. I be the best, give the best, and do the best. And I leave the rest to who? I leave the rest to you. I take up this hobby, cycling. People laugh at me when I tell them I can't cycle. But if you live in Singapore, you don't cycle. There are too many cars. Why would you want to cycle? But I decided that, hey, take up cycling, learning how to cycle. So I went to Robert Jura. I said, Robert, you are an old cyclist. Why don't you teach a young cyclist how to cycle? Now, I never said that Robert is an old ox. So I asked him, why don't you teach me? Just like an older ox teaching a younger ox to cycle. Of course, Robert, he is fit. He knows how to cycle. So he went up the slope, down the slope. He go all the Malupa. And I tried to follow him. And I was in my heart. I said, Robert, I'm a learner. I'm not the expert yet. But he wants to show me, so I follow. Then what happened? We were trying to go up. And for me, I went straight to the two rubbish bin and knocked the two bin down. And of course, I fell. This is what happened when you try to do it your own. Jesus said, I call you not to do it your own. I call you to do it what? With me. You serve with me. You love with me. Whatever you do, do it with me. If I don't have that enough grace, God, give me that grace. If I don't have enough strength, God, give me that strength. He knows how much you can take. He knows that. You see, when you take in the unforced rhythm of his grace, when you take in the Christ, the yoke of Christ, then one thing for sure, you don't measure your worth according to how much you have done. You don't take that. You know? Then you don't see your value according to what you have achieved or what people expect of you. You see your value on who you are in who? In Jesus Christ. You will rest with who you are, where you are, what you have or what you don't have. Even in your weaknesses, you know, as long as I'm walking close to him and keeping in companion with Jesus Christ, his unforced rhythm of grace will work in me and bring me to the place he wants me to be. Then you will see you are loved for not for who you are, for not your performance or your success. Do you feel tired today? Worn out, burnt out, heavy laden? I want you to exchange whatever yoke that you have put on yourself, exchange with the yoke of Christ. And allow this unforced rhythm of grace to come upon you as you get away with Him. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. And keep company with Him. Because when His unforced grace comes upon you, your insufficiency will become sufficient. Your lack will be filled. Your incompleteness will become complete. Your weakness will be covered. Nothing about your performance or success. It's only about God and false rhythm of grace working for you, in you, and through you to fulfill your life on earth. Would you take this morning the yoke of Christ and throw away whatever yoke you are wearing? Throw it away. Can we get a musician to come this morning? What a question to start with. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out? It's not me asking you. It's the one who loves you, Jesus Christ, who talked to an audience 2,000 years ago, is speaking to you today, asking you, are you tired? I know you have to work, but work is not your life. Work is just part of God's provision for your life. Don't make it your life. Are you worn out? Are you burnt out? How long does it take for God to touch you, to refresh you when you are burnt out? Instantly, He's able to do it. I remember 10 years after I pastored, I came to the Lord one day and said, God, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm burnt out, God. I can't do it anymore, God. There are people in the church, Lord, that I need to love. There are work that I need to do. I need to preach. But Lord, I have become that empty tank. How long can you go on when your tank is empty? Not for long. In tears, by myself, I lift up my hand and say, God, I am tired. I am worn out. I am burnt out. I ask you, Lord, come and touch me. Come and quicken me. Put new strength into me. In tears, I lift my hand, crying to Him. And I want you to know, instantly I felt the touch of His hand. Instantly, I was restored. This morning, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out? The God who touched me. You can and leave the rest to me. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? And as you lift your hand to me, I'm going to ask for the spirit of grace, for unforced rhythm of His grace this morning to be poured into every life. Grace is God's throne, from the throne of God, the throne of His grace, coming down to every opening of your life, of your heart. Every opening you say to Him, God, I need your unforced rhythm of grace to come into my work, to come into my marriage, to come into my home, to come into my life. I need it, oh God. God is here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that your word is preached. And now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to pour the unforced rhythm of grace into every mind and every heart. When there is insufficiency, let your unforced grace fill the insufficiency and make it sufficient. When there is emptiness, fill it with your unforced rhythm of grace. We ask, remove every yoke off our back. We only want the yoke of Christ to learn of you, to know how good and how caring you are, to know, Lord, that you will never lead us to a place where your grace will not be there. I speak right now. Let the grace of God fill every mind, every heart. In Jesus' name, I pray.